right. Y'all enjoying the weather tonight? We got some soggy people out there. All right. Well, we know we finished up our study of 1 John, and we're kind of in a very short period here because in 2 weeks we're going to do our end-of-the-year luau, so obviously we're not going to preach that day. And then the week after that, some of us will be in Honduras, and I won't. Mr. Howard will be preaching that week. And so I won't be starting a new series until June. So I wanted to, and this is something that's kind of been on my mind, and I know I've been mentioning this to you guys for a while now, and I actually had him make this poster up for me about a month ago, and we're just now finally getting around to it. But I'm going to take the next 2 weeks, and this is kind of a vision casting sort of thing, basically. We're going to call it the Crossfire Resolution. We're going to break it up into two parts, and it's basically 14 promises. All right, it's 14 promises that, you know, outgoing seniors, I hope you guys will take some of these with you as you go, and then everybody that's coming back, I want us to kind of take these forward as we move forward in this ministry, to value what we're doing here, to kind of give us some ownership of the youth group, because that's really kind of the thing we've got to embrace, is that it's not my youth group, it's your youth group, and then overall it's God's youth group. But you guys have to kind of take ownership of that, because we're not going to be effective unless you guys are committed to being effective. Does that make sense? As much as I would want things to be effective, it really, obviously I have a role, but you guys have to kind of take ownership of the whole thing. You know, it's if you've been on athletic teams that have been unsuccessful versus successful, I think you would agree that the successful teams take ownership. You know, the players take ownership of a team. You know, the idea would be if there's a practice, the coach wouldn't even have to be there and the team would still do the right thing, right? And if your team would not do the right thing when the coach isn't there, then you probably don't have much ownership in your team because there's no investment there, right? Okay, so the same thing here. Obviously, we're never going to have a night where nobody's standing up here, but if nobody was standing up here, would we still do the right thing? You know, when nobody's watching, do you still do the right thing? Right? That's what character's all about. So this is part one of the Crossfire Resolution. And first I figured we'd define resolution because, you know, y'all don't really like your vocabulary very much. So resolution is a noun. We know it's a noun because it's got a T-I-O-N ending, right? So when you take vocabulary quizzes and they ask you what the parts of speech are, if it's got T-I-O-N on the end, it's a noun 100% of the time. So I just got you points on your vocabulary every week. All right. So here's what a resolution is. Number one, it's a resolve or determination to make a firm resolution to do something. It means I say I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it. It's not a suggestion. It's not a maybe. It means I've made a suggestion. I've made a statement and I'm definitely going to do it. The second definition is it's the act of resolving or determining upon an action, of course of action, method, procedure, etc. So not only do I decide I'm going to do it, I'm going to decide how I'm going to do it, why I'm going to do it, you know, what's the procedure that I'm going to take, what's my strategy, I'm going to plan it out, right? And then number three, the mental state or quality of being resolved or resolute, it's firmness or purpose. So it's not one of those ideas where you get all hyped up about an idea one day and then like 3 days later you're like, I'm not so hyped up anymore. You know, it's not that New Year's resolution thing where people are like, oh, I'm going to lose weight. And then like a week later, they're like, nah, I'm just going to go home because working out is hard. it's not that kind of resolution. This is a firm resolution that doesn't change. You decide you're going to do it and you're going to do it and you don't make excuses and you man up and you do it. Okay. So this is where I stole it from. I don't want to get accused of plagiarism, but I know most of you guys have seen the Courageous movie, and they have a resolution. If you remember, all the guys commit to doing this resolution, hanging on the wall. Need some water? Sounds painful. I care about your safety. now she's mad at me. dude, that was in her best interest. All right, so the guys, the police officers there in Courageous, they decide to do a resolution to do what? Yeah, be better fathers, be better men, right? They make a resolution. Well, we've kind of stolen that idea. We've kind of borrowed that idea. We've taking a loan out on that idea, and we're going to take that resolution and we're going to put that into our situation, right? And just like they committed to a resolution, and you notice with all those guys, it pretty much changed their life, except for the one guy that kind of messes up after that. But it changes everything. It gives them a purpose. It gives them a focus. And sometimes we need to articulate focus, don't we? We kind of need to have a plan. You know, it's going back to my athletic analogy again, right? If you show up at practice and coach doesn't have a plan, you kind of feel like, all right, well, what are we doing here then, coach? You know, but if coach has a plan and he's got an itinerary and he's laid out a strategy, okay, which we'll do soon, basketball guys, you've got to have a vision, right? You got to have a big picture vision, and you got to have a small picture vision, or otherwise you're just kind of running through the motions. Right, you're just running through the motions. So if you want to know about that, basketball guys, just keep reading after 1 Corinthians 9:24 that I told you to memorize. Read 25, 26, and 27, and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, so here's our theme verse, Job 5, 8, and 9. Job says, I would seek unto God, and unto God I would commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. So what we want is we want to seek God's will on this. We want to do church, we want to do youth group the way God would want us to do youth group, right? It's not something that makes us happy all the time, although it should if we're in Christ, but it is something that we want to glorify him with. So that's the point. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. So I want to commit this ministry to God. It is already. I want to recommit it. I want to reaffirm it. I want to give us a resolution that we're going to stick to this. So here's our first promise. Okay. And you'll notice if you go and read the resolution from Courageous, I did even borrow a couple of the statements that they used on their resolution, and then I changed some to fit our kind of thing, because obviously all of theirs didn't fit all of ours. So the first one is, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself. Okay? Imagine that in this day and age, taking responsibility for yourself. Right? We don't really like that in this postmodern world. We don't want to take responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. Right, so here's the thing with this sermon, just to kind of get that other part in. This is not our typical going through a verse by verse kind of expository kind of message. This is more of a we're gonna do more of a, as much as I hate it, topical type kind of message here, and talk about what all this stuff means and what God expects of us. So I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself. So what that means is, when I mess up, I'm gonna own up to it. You know, when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to own up to it. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It's the idea of we can take this from what we're doing now when we sit here and pay attention to our very salvation. It really doesn't matter what the people beside you do. It really doesn't matter what I do. You're responsible for yourself when it comes to all that kind of stuff. You know, I can't force you to listen. I can't force you to put your faith into action. I can't force you to get saved. Right? But I'm saying we need to resolve to do that as individuals as well as a group. Okay, responsibility. Okay, wouldn't it be cool if dogs did that? That would make life a lot easier. There you go. I'm impressed. So, all right. Remember, we got to be able to look at the picture, ha ha, and then we're back. Look at the picture, LOL, and then we're back. Okay. There's no ROTFL. It's just an LOL. All right, that's as far as we can go. We can't roll on the floor. All right, yep. We could call him A-Dog, yeah. All right, so responsibility. What are you responsible for? You're responsible for your commitment level. And when I say commitment level, it's kind of weird because this is obviously a voluntary thing. We don't force anybody to come to youth group. But how much are you committed to what we're trying to get done when you come? You know, and a lot of times all that entails is showing up and paying attention. You know, half the time showing up's half the battle, 75% of the battle. Just show up. Okay? For your attention span, yeah, guess what? You're responsible for your attention span. I know it's short, so is mine. Okay, I got it. I know it's hard to pay attention for a long time. All right, but you're responsible for your attention span. Can you fight the urges to be distracted? Okay, for your disrespect. And I know, and here's the thing, is I know you guys, it's not like we walk up and go, shh, and you guys, like, cuss us out. All right, yeah, that doesn't happen. All right, you guys are good kids. That doesn't happen. However, there are sometimes, we've talked about this before, where you guys will exhibit disrespect and you don't even realize you're exhibiting disrespect. Right? you know, when you're talking, when you're not supposed to be talking. That's kind of disrespectful, you know, when you don't respond to somebody that tells when one of the youth staff says, hey, just be quiet for a second, and you just keep talking, right? That's disrespect. I know you're not meaning to throw it into somebody's face, but that's disrespect. You're responsible for that. Okay? You're responsible for your priorities. You know, when you're here, and I know you got a lot of stuff going on. I know you guys are busy. Okay? I know we got sports and we got school and we got outside stuff and we got all that. Okay? I know that. But we're not asking for like 3 hours worth of time. You know, I'm not asking you to like do homework when you come here. Right? Do you have the priority to be able to pay attention for 40 minutes or whatever it is that we're here? And then for your focus on God, and we talk about this all the time when Miss Kathy and Mr. Snep's up here singing, are we focused or are we talking while the singing's going on? There's a purpose to the worship, obviously. You know, are we focused where we need to be focused? Same thing when we're preaching through the Word, right? And you must take responsibility for your actions. So the first key to this promise, the first resolve is, the first promise basically says, I'm going to take responsibility for what I do. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to blame other people. You know, it's not going to be, oh, I was sitting beside so-and-so and he was talking to me. We're not going to do that excuse, right? I shouldn't have been talking. I should have been paying attention. I should have done that better, okay? What do you mean? Are you here to hear? I thought that was kind of the cool thing. I kind of came up with that today. I made that up. See, here to hear, here, there. They sound the same. Yeah. Are you willing to set aside things for 45 minutes to hear from the Word of God? Will you resist the temptation of indifference? Because I know it's easy to just kind of, you know, just one more Wednesday night, because we kind of get used to the flow of things, right? It gets to be a routine. Can we fight that indifference? Will you make excuses for your lack of commitment, or do what it takes to focus, right? Let's not make excuses. Let's not be those guys, right? And for basketball players, that's just a preview lesson. If you ever come off the court and I'm like, hey, you didn't do that, and you're like, but, then you're probably going to sit down for a while, you know? Just don't make excuses. You know, I'd rather, if you think I'm the most wrong, crazy person in the world, just say yes, sir, and go sit down. You'll go back in the game like a minute later. Just a little nugget of wisdom there for you. So, promise two. I resolve to draw close to God, to love His Word, to learn His Word. Now, obviously, if you're not saved, then this resolution doesn't really strike a chord with you. But if you are, it should convict you a little bit. You know, that when we're here and we're devoted to the Word, we're actually going to make an effort to understand what it says and try to see what God has for us. You know, novel concept, right? Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I might declare all thy works. Okay? It's good to draw near. Okay? James says, draw near and he'll draw near to you. Okay? Draw close, love, and learn. Those are the three key words in that resolution. If you're not willing to lay things aside and devote time to God, then something's broken. Okay? If you're claiming Christ and yet you dread going to church, or you really get irritated at church and you don't really want to listen, and you don't really want to listen to the music, and you don't really care about the message, then something's not hooked up, right? Something's broken in there. And it's what I have here is, have no fear. He will not disappoint you if you put yourself out there for Him. There's never been a time when somebody has stepped out there and been like, God, I really want to get close. I want to know you. And God's like, nah, I don't have time for you. You know, that's not the kind of God we serve, right? When you put yourself out there, He honors that putting yourself out there. Okay? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We've got an absolute monopoly here on truth. Might as well take advantage of it. All right. Did you realize that the word is the reason that we've been besieged by hateful words, thoughts, deeds over the past couple weeks? That's why we've been dealing with what we've been dealing with here for the last couple weeks, because of the word of God. Because we stand on it and others don't. Because we think it's truth and others don't. You know, because we're not willing to compromise and say the world's okay and the world's right and relativism is the way to go. And guess what? You get attacked for it. Okay? I saw a story this morning. You know, I'm kind of a wrestling nerd, right? So I was reading the news this morning, and those of you that watch wrestling might know CM Punk. But CM Punk is he got in a little Twitter battle last night or night before, I guess. He put out a tweet against Amendment 1. Here in North Carolina. I don't think he lives in North Carolina, but he did a Against Amendment 1 thing. And somebody wrote him a tweet back and said, one man, one woman is the way it's supposed to be. And so CM Punk wrote him back a tweet and said, you should kill yourself. And then he wrote him back another tweet and said, you should drink bleach. So real loving stuff, right? And so I guess he got a little bit of remorse for that, and he came back and he tweeted the guy and said, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I don't want you to kill yourself, blah, blah, blah. And it's unbelievable over the last couple of weeks, because I know you guys have heard some of the comments and all that kind of stuff, and Pastor Sean has gone out of his way to apologize. And how many times do you hear, oh, it's not a real apology, oh, it's not, you know, no, we don't believe it, right? That's what we get. Well, CM Punk apologized with that. Oh, I shouldn't have told you to kill yourself. That was the extent of the apology. And the comments on the message boards was, he doesn't have anything to apologize for. And I was like, wow, we are just living in a double standard sort of world, right? This guy can tell somebody that they need to kill themselves, and nobody says, oh, nope, he doesn't need to apologize for that. And yet we stand on truth, and the apologies don't work, right? That's the world that we're living in, right? And that's why we get attacked. Because we're willing to stand for something that's not popular. And if the world really liked what we were doing here, we'd probably need to question what we were doing. Right? 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay? Paul told us there's going to come a time where you're going to give them truth and they're not going to listen. They will not suffer sound doctrine. They will not listen to truth, no matter how compelling it is. But after their own lust, they shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the itching ears part, we don't really use that terminology anymore, but what does it mean? Yeah, what are they going to listen to? Yeah, they're going to put people in power that will say what they want to hear, right? And boy, has that infiltrated the church. We're going to get pastors that will tell us what we want to hear, not the truth. Right, so that's what we're dealing with here, and that's why we've been attacked. So what I'm asking you to resolve is that word that we're standing on, draw close to it. Because what's the point of us standing on it if you're going to walk away from it? If it doesn't mean anything to you, then what are we going through here? Right, the word is truth. We should stand on that truth no matter what we do, even when it's here having fun together. Okay, and those are just some of the things, all these things that were going on. There's all 40 of those protesters that came out and stood on the corner. There was going to be 400, but only 40 showed up, so it's a rough day. All right. Shh. But this is what I'm talking about. Look at all this stuff that's going on, and there's some cool cartoons there if you ever want to look those up on the internet. But the irony and the hypocrisy that we get from the other side. All right, so why are we here? If we're not here to draw closer to God, to love Him more, to celebrate the gospel of Christ, then why exactly do we meet on Wednesday nights? Okay, if you're here because I'm just a cool guy, which is true, obviously, but if that's the only reason why you're here, then that's not the reason you should be here, right? Because Jesus is a lot cooler than I am, you know. So if that's, you know, if you're here just so you can, like, go run around in the rain, if you're here so you can play a little basketball before we come in here, you know, if you're here, you know, because you like eating three meals over there, you know, that probably shouldn't be your priority as far as showing up. You know, we are here to study the gospel. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to glorify Him. And if that's not the reason why you're here, that's what you should be pursuing. That's what's going to change things. That's what's going to make things a little bit different in your life. Okay. Promise 3, I'll be faithful to my God, love and honor Him, and be willing to sacrifice for Him as Jesus Christ did for me. Right? So I'm going to be faithful to God. That means I'm going to do the things that He would want me to do. And that's not just here in this room. That's everywhere we go. Right? And we all kind of sin sometimes, right? You run into those every now and then, like every other minute, okay? With our thoughts, with our actions, with the way we deal with people, right? And yet, we do that all the time. Do we kind of take that for granted sometimes? I think we do. I think we don't look at our sin the way God would want us to look at our sin, you know. And if we really, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but if we really understand what the sacrifice was, then we would probably view our sin a lot differently. You know, if we really believed that, because if you asked any Christian, if I asked any of you guys now and that kind of thing, if I said, well, do you believe that Jesus is with us? Do you believe He's omnipresent? You know, what would you say? Yeah, we believe He's omnipresent. Well, we don't believe that enough. Because how do we act when we're alone sometimes? How do we act when we're with our friends sometimes? If we really believe that Jesus was right there beside us, would we really act the way that we do when we're by ourselves, when we're with our friends, when we're in certain situations? We don't believe that. We don't. We say we do, but we really don't in the way we act. And notice I'm saying we here, right? We do not understand what that really means. We take that for granted like crazy. Okay? Romans 12:1 says, "As I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's reasonable. It's not too much to ask. It's reasonable. It's your reasonable service. You are supposed to sacrifice this flesh to him. For his needs take over our needs. Our needs are not as important as his needs. And that's what the world can't quite understand, by the way. That's what they're jumping on, right? Because we worship somebody that's holier than us, and in their world, they're the holiest thing they can think of, right? We have a different standard. Okay, sacrifice. Okay. I was mad because the little picture there has a typo at the bottom, because you're supposed to sacrifice for your fiends, I guess. I wouldn't want to sacrifice for a fiend, but perhaps a friend, not a fiend. If you don't know what a fiend is, get a dictionary. So sacrifices Jesus Christ did. And here's a question, hey, and you might want to pay attention to this part. Are we loving each other like Christ would? You know, rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. But probably not as well as Christ would. Obviously not. And I think a lot of us, a lot of the time, are not even approaching where we need to be on that. Do we tear each other down? And I know we do, right? Because people have told me that. I mean, I know we have a nice little environment here. You know, like I said, you guys are good kids. We get along. You know, we don't have fist fights in the parking lot. You know, we don't have that kind of stuff. We're not cussing each other out in here. We don't have that. But are we doing things a little more subtly than that? You know, do we go behind each other's backs? You know, do we kind of bully each other? Not maybe in a traditional bully kind of sense, like in the cartoons, but in a mental kind of sense. Do we tear each other down a little bit? Do we talk behind each other's back? And I know we do. So why do we do that? You know, why do we put up with that? Why don't we resolve to do better at that? We are better than that, right? We are better than that in this room than to go around and tear each other down. We should not settle for that, from ourselves, from our friends, for anything. Because our tendency is, when somebody else is tearing somebody down, we kind of jump right in, right? It's that mob mentality thing. If you guys ever go to college and you study psychology, you'll study about this stuff. But this whole, it's kind of fascinating, but this whole idea of a mob mentality, where if a group is doing it, you are much more likely to do it because you're part of the group. You're anonymous. You're not by yourself. You can blend into the group, right? And they've done experiments in these crowded places and parks and stuff, and they've staged like muggings and assaults and things like that. And there have been hundreds of people around seeing a woman or something get her purse taken from her, and nobody moves. Nobody does anything because they think somebody else will do it. And they justify it by thinking, well, I was in the group and I just didn't. But if they were by themselves, maybe they would have acted a lot differently. But we've got this mob mentality. It's the same thing when we're in peer pressure type situations. And we're with somebody and somebody's kind of funny. And, you know, I've been that guy before, okay? Been that jerk that's running somebody down. And then everybody else likes your jokes, so they just jump right in, right? Because he probably is kind of witty. He's probably kind of funny, or she, or whoever you're talking to. And so it's real easy to kind of, ha-ha, yeah, and piggyback on that, right? Can we resolve to be better than that? Can we not settle for tearing each other down and insulting each other? Do we allow this gossip and stuff to kind of rule our world? Because it's school, right? It's y'all are teenagers. That's kind of what happens. I know. I used to be one a little while ago. A little longer than it used to be, but I was a teenager at one point. I was still this height, so just imagine. So nobody really bullied me much, but I don't know. I just like Sheldon. Yeah, had I not been 6'7", maybe I would have ended up being like Sheldon. So. Here's some honesty. Why would anyone want to come to youth group to be ignored, alienated, talked about behind your back? Why would anybody want to do that? You know? Why would anybody want to go anywhere when they know they're not going to be treated well? And that can't be our atmosphere. We can't have a situation where we know so-and-so is going to be there and so-and-so is going to act like a jerk tonight. Okay? We can't have that. And if we have that, we've got to be resolved enough to take care of that. And I'm not saying you drag the guy out back and beat him up, right? I'm saying you confront these things in biblical manners and you take care of these things. You know, you don't allow this stuff to be the normal part of the day. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to do this sort of stuff, but we don't put up with it. we don't participate in it, right? If that's the case, then that guy or that girl needs to end up being the one that gets alienated, right? So they can learn their mistake. You know, as Paul would say, you almost hand them over to Satan to be dealt with. You know, you've got to remove that part from the assembly so they can learn their lesson. Okay? And especially if it happens all day long at school. We're in a weird situation here, a unique situation. Weird's not the right word, but a unique situation in that a lot of us have been here since early this morning, right? And we've spent the entire day together, and we do that all the time, right? And when you're around people all the time, what tends to happen? We get a little irritated, right? Anybody got brothers and sisters? Okay. What happens when you spend all day at home with them? It gets out of hand, doesn't it? Right? So it's one of those things where if you were at some sort of public event and you were with a bunch of total strangers, that probably wouldn't get you as irritated as if you had to spend a whole day with a brother, sister, or close friend. Because eventually, we just tend to wear on each other because we're sinners and we're annoying and we tend to wear on each other. We wear on each other when we're different from one another, and we wear on each other when we're exactly the same. You know, we could have exactly the same interest and we could start wearing on each other, right? So that's the kind of situation we're in. We're in a very much of a family sort of brother-sister situation because of the amount of time that we spend together, right? And at the same time, that creates a bit of a divide for those people here that don't go to school here all day. You know, do we treat people differently? You know, are we so happy to see somebody new that we gang up on somebody that's already here, right? We got all kinds of scenarios that could come into play here, right? We could alienate somebody that's not part of the group. We could go after people that are in the group. You know, we've got all this kind of drama stuff going on that we've got to make sure doesn't go on. It just damages what we've got going on here. All right, number four. I will not allow myself to be selfish and distracted during the preaching and teaching of God's word. This is a challenge, okay? It's a challenge. Because notice what I've got going on there. I will not allow myself to be selfish and distracted. And this is talking about you, right? This is talking about individual. I will not allow myself to be selfish enough to not pay attention to God's word. Okay? God's word is it. It is important. It is the foundation. It is the truth. We're not going to be selfish enough to allow that to just slip away. Psalm 119, 35 through 37, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein I do delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou in my way. David's talking about, Psalmist is talking about right there, hey, I get distracted. Don't let me get distracted. Help me to focus on you. That should be our prayer too. Hey, let me focus on you as short a time as I need to. You know, and granted, we need to give him more than 45 minutes. But that's all we're asking for in this setting, is that 45 minutes. Can I be strong enough to be unselfish enough to give up my other priorities? Because I know I got that test coming up, and then I've got to call so-and-so, and then my text message just went off three times, and then I got a Facebook update, and then somebody else tweeted me here, all right? I saw it called Tweeter in an article the other day. That was good. I think it was the same article where Pastor Sean was 58 years old. it's good fact-finding over there at the Fayetteville Observer. Okay. I texted him. I was like, man, I know it's been a long week, but 12 years older. That's crazy. So that's selfishness. I believe that's right. Yeah, 29. All right. So when I say selfish and distracted, y'all can probably relate to that little logo there. So selfishness in this area can come in many forms, right? Selfishness in this area can come in a lot of different forms. Some of it's very easy. It's inattention. I allow myself to drift off, right? And I know we do this all the time. And I know you do this in class, okay? I teach a lot of y'all, so I know you do this in class, all right? Yeah. Right? I know it happens. But that inattention, that you allow yourself to not pay attention, right? That there is a conscious decision there, believe it or not. You almost have to take responsibility for that. Okay? I know your cell phone is a constant temptation, right? And I can relate to that too, because it's a temptation for me as well. Right? I mean, when you're sitting here, and even if you have it on vibrate and you feel it go off, you have this compelling need to look at it. Okay? I get it, especially in our society today, because everything's kind of text message, instant message, kind of that kind of stuff. it's amazing how that stuff didn't even come into play until very recently. Y'all are kind of the first generation that is so inundated with all that kind of stuff, right? It's not necessarily a good thing. It's convenient, but, you know. So talking with friends, you know, do you allow your friends to distract you? Do you allow conversations to distract you? Because a lot of the conversations that you have that some of you are having like right now, they can wait, you know. They're not like life or death. We need to take care of the situation right now, okay? Inappropriate comments, you know, and not inappropriate like you're like profane, but wrong time, wrong situation kind of comments, right? And I can really relate to this one because I was that guy, okay? I was that guy all through school, you know. I was going to get that home run one-liner and make everybody laugh and disrupt class, right? That was me all the way through, okay? Spanish class, I remember, she wasn't a good teacher. She didn't really teach us Spanish. It was more like Southern Mexican. But you were like, yo, tango, un perro, blanco. I wish I was making that up. But I remember, because I was the only freshman in the class, and because I had taken Spanish when I lived in Pittsburgh. And so I was a couple years ahead of, like, everybody else. So I was a freshman, and I was in a class with a bunch of juniors and seniors, but I still thought I was kind of funny. And so the seniors could pretty much say whatever they wanted, and she would never really get on them. But every time I came up with my little home run one-liner, it was like, David, perhaps if you would spend more time studying your Spanish instead of making jokes, you would have a better grade. I had, like, a C in there, so it wasn't good. So she was right. But I was – like I said, I was that guy. I always wanted to kind of – I probably still am a lot of times. But I always wanted to have that – I wanted to zing it in there, right? That was what I wanted to do. And some of you guys are that guy or that girl too. So we got to fight against that because, you just got it right there. wanted to be the center of attention. If my wife was here, I'd pick on her about this one. But she's not – she'll tell you that. She won't. It's not anything that's out of the ordinary. She likes being the center of attention. Some of us like to be the center of attention. Some of us would rather get yelled at and get in trouble than not be noticed. Okay? Yeah, not necessarily a good thing. All right? And then the last one that we obviously want to avoid is that full-blown disrespect, where if somebody asks you to do something and you refuse to comply, right? That's what we've got to avoid at all costs. We can't have any of that disrespect. At all, conscious or unconscious. Okay? So what does it matter if I'm not paying attention? Right? That just affects me. What's the big deal? Right? So when I say selfish, when we think about being selfish, that might be the idea. Well, it's just me, so who cares? I'm not affecting anybody else. But I would argue you are affecting other people. You're placing yourself above God. You're saying that the speaker's not worth your time, and sometimes that's me, maybe in other occasions it's somebody else, and you're communicating pride and indifference to those around you. Because if somebody else sees you not paying attention and you are confident with getting away with that, what's to say that doesn't rub off on other people? You guys know how this works, is if you're around lazy people, laziness tends to rub off. All right, when you're around disrespectful people, disrespect tends to rub off. If you're around hardworking people and you're the lazy one, you better get in line or you're going to look really silly, right? You're going to look kind of stupid because you're the lazy one in a group of hardworking people. It's just the opposite if it's a bunch of lazy people and you're the hardworking one. You tend to get dragged down. It's the same sort of thing, all right? So to make you think about selfishness, I got a little video to show you because Will watches it all the time, and it makes me laugh when I think about it. So, no, not Zoo Pals. He does like Zoo Pals, though. It's the Veggie Tales one. Right. This is probably one of the stupidest Veggie Tales there is, but I do think it's funny. It makes me laugh. All right. So, I know it's really stupid, but the Swedish guy cracks me up. So, shh, settle down. Between the Swedish guy and the peas yelling at them that they're so selfish, that's really good. All right. Just wait, you're going to get another video before we're all said and done in just a minute. Right? Selfishness, right? Just because your selfishness is not taking something tangible from somebody else doesn't mean it's not selfishness. just because you are not stealing, coveting, that sort of thing, your attitude can be selfish. Your presentation of yourself at youth group can be selfish, right? Promise number 5, I will bless my brothers and sisters in Christ and not hinder their walk with the Lord. Okay, this is important. Right? Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Okay? Don't prevent others from prospering. Don't prevent others from hearing the word. Don't prevent others from worshiping. Don't prevent others from being able to draw close to God, because we can really have that effect on each other. It's very, like I said, we've talked about our attention spans. It's real easy to draw our attention away. Don't be that person. Don't be that stumbling block. Don't be the one that gets in the way, right? And we've got another illustration here in the other video, another classic. Nope, not a VeggieTales this time. Stop yelling at me. I was trying to find the right one. They've got all these weird dubs. I don't know what's coming, so we better stop. Top right. That's all right. Shh. All right. That was the frustrating thing, is I couldn't find the one I had earlier, and I thought that one was a good one. I guess it's not. All right. Shh. Quiet, please. All right, but we know what's coming in that video. It's the football, right? And Charlie Brown wants to kick the football, and Lucy's going to put the football out for him. And it's happened. Yes. Yep. Yeah. So, where was I? We know the scene, right? And in this particular one, what happens is Lucy has done this before, right? It's kind of the common thing in Peanuts. You see it over and over again. Charlie Brown misses the football and feels stupid. And this is the one where she's like, hey, come kick the football. And he's like, you know, you've done this to me before. I'm not going to do it again. You know, you must think I'm really stupid to come back here and do it again. And she gives him a written contract. Right, she's like, no, I put it on paper. I'm not going to pull it away this time. And he's like, all right. And he takes the paper, and then he runs in, and she pulls the football out, and he goes, ah, and then falls on his back again. Right, and Lucy's like, this hasn't been notarized, and she gets away with it. So she gets away on a technicality. So in that illustration, here was the idea. Hey, you could either be the Lucy in this situation, or you could be the Charlie Brown in the illustration. Right, you could really be either one, but I would say that both of them are not good places to be, because if you're Lucy, what are you doing? Yeah, you're pulling the carpet out from everybody else. You know, I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to pay attention, right? And you pull the carpet out, pull the football away. If you're Charlie Brown, and exactly what you see in that clip, if we were to watch the clip, is he's at the point now where he's like, you know what, I'm not even going to trust you anymore. Because you've done this to me every single time, and I'm not going to do it again. And so eventually, if somebody keeps pulling the football away, what does your attitude become? Yeah, you get bitter. You start not trusting people. You start not liking people, right? So if you're the one that is causing that, if you're the stumbling block, if you're the Lucy, stop being the Lucy, right? Stop pulling the football away. If you're the Charlie Brown, okay, That's a shame, you know, because we want you to love people. We want you to trust people. But if the stumbling block is in the way, you got to get away from the stumbling block. You know, you got to go play with Linus or something. Okay. I know he's got his blanket, but, you know, go play with him. Probably not Pigpen, because he probably wouldn't be too pleasant to hang around. But and don't go to dances with these characters, because they're the worst dancers in the history of cartoons. Okay. All right. Promise 6. And this plays into what we were talking about. I will honor authority and live responsibly. Okay? And Romans 6:16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So basically what God is calling us to do there is to be obedient, right? And what we don't want is, it's not one of those situations where we're trying to lord authority over you, right? It's not a situation where I want to be here so I can lord things over you. Okay, so I can be the hard line guy up here, and I'm going to make you snap to attention and be in order, right? And that's good. Enough comments. We talked about it earlier. Okay, we don't want Wednesday night to be like that. I don't want you to show up and go, oh, we're going to get put in our place again. We know that, and I know at school all day you have to follow a certain line of discipline. You know, we can't have the kind of the looseness that we have out here that you can't have that in a classroom. Okay, I get that, and I don't want to carry like pure classroom over to what you've got out here. That would be no fun. Okay? But at the same time, there's got to be some respect for authority. Okay, there's got to be some respect for what we're trying to get done. So that we've got to find a line between, I'm not going to force you to do anything, but you're not going to take advantage of that. Does that make sense? We've got to find the line there. It's a two-way traffic thing, right? It will never reach our potential in Christ if, number one, you don't respect our authority as your caretakers, teachers, mentors, leaders, whatever you want to say there, or if we don't respect your maturity level to be treated as young adults. So we don't want to make this kindergarten, right? We don't want to put those kind of rules on you. You know, we don't want to make it boot camp. You know, we don't want that. But at the same time, we don't want it to be chaos. We don't want to foster an environment of disrespect. So we've got to find a balance in there somewhere. And that's where you guys have to take ownership of it, where you're not going to be that cause for dissension and for disrespect, right? And then the last promise we're going to cover tonight, number 7, I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I just think that's really, really sounds cool because we could be superheroes. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Okay, what that means is we are who we say we are. You know, if we are in Christ, we're going to represent Christ. We're not going to put up with anything less than what Christ would have us do. Okay, so we got the superhero theme going on there. Okay, yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I heard it's awesome. I know. So this means you don't allow evil to enter our assembly. I know we hear evil, and we just think, like, we don't really see evil on a daily basis, right? But when I say that evil, that's we've got to broaden the definition of evil a little bit in the sense of I'm not going to let the gossip, the backbiting, the bullying, the mocking, I'm not going to let any of that enter the assembly. I'm not going to let the laziness enter the assembly. Okay? I don't know if you guys have seen these. I know you have, but Nike's got this new deal with these shirts where they have the big slogans on the shirts. Y'all have seen all those, okay? There's one out there, and you've probably seen it. It says, lazy but talented, okay? And I think it's the stupidest shirt I've ever seen in my entire life, because why would anyone ever want to be known as lazy but talented, okay? I don't live up to my potential. That's what it should probably say, right? I have the ability, but I don't work hard. Like, that's kind of what the shirt is. And yet people buy that shirt, and they're like, oh, lazy but talented. It's so stupid, okay? It drives me crazy. And laziness, that's evil, right? Laziness is evil. If you let laziness get into your daily routine, you're not going to be successful, okay? It doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether it's athletics, academics, okay, doing your Bible studies. If you let laziness get in there, you're not going to be successful, okay? If it does, if evil gets in here somehow, you identify it, you make a plan to get rid of it, okay? You don't go all violence on everything, but you make a plan to get rid of it. We don't tolerate it even amongst our friends. And that's how you guys will really figure out as you get older, seniors, as you guys go away to college and that kind of thing, you'll notice sometimes you tend to lose touch with some high school friends sometimes because you get far away and you're in different places and it's hard to keep up and that kind of thing. But you'll know with those real close friends, those ones you have that next level kind of bond with, you guys will find a way to stay in touch. You'll find a way to keep that relationship going. But you'll find that that pool that you thought might have been this big is really about this big, right? And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It's just kind of the reality of things. And you guys will know your good friends because good friends will tell you when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, a good friend is not going to let you mess up over and over and over again. You know, a good friend that really cares about you is not going to let you portray yourself in that manner, because they care enough about you to not let you be stupid. You know, and a lot of our friends don't care about us enough to not make us look stupid. You'll see that when you get to college, believe me. Especially if you're at bigger colleges, you'll see that very quickly. So that's what I want to challenge you from. Is I know you're just in high school, and some of you aren't even in high school yet. Are you a good enough friend? Are you a good enough follower of Christ where you're willing to call out your friend for doing something that's stupid? You know, and there's a way to do that with tact, by the way. I'm saying stupid. You probably shouldn't go up to them and tell them they're stupid. All right. But you know what they're doing is compromising. You know what they're doing is damaging, whether it be them, maybe you by association, maybe your group of friends, maybe your school, maybe your class, whatever it is, they're damaging that. Do you have enough credibility to be able to call that out? Because if you've been participating in the evil the whole time, you're really not in a position to call anybody out. Does that make sense? All right. For example, gossip, bullying, mocking, profanity. Okay. Like I said, we don't have a lot of instances where people are getting cussed out in here, okay, with each other, to me or anything that we hear. Okay. But I'm not stupid enough to think that you guys use perfectly pure language everywhere you go and everything that you do. Okay. I mean, I guarantee you, there's people in here where it's a problem. Okay. Especially when you're by yourself. Especially when you're off the radar a little bit. For me, it used to be sports. It would come out in competition times. Right? I'm not throwing stones. I mean, I had about as bad a mouth as I could possibly find when I was y'all's age. Okay? I'm not proud of it, but that was one of my major stumbling blocks coming through. So I know it exists. You know, is that something that we need to address? Right? And I would also ask you, if that's one of your problems, check what kind of music and what kind of movies and what kind of TV you watch. Might have an effect on that. Okay, inconsiderate behavior, exclusion, humiliation. We've got to be better than that. Okay? We can't put up with that. We can't put up with this half-hearted kind of, we just show up and we're those kind of Christians. We got to hold to a better standard than that. Okay, you got to show mercy. You may have seen Gladiator. You know, Commodus here shows mercy, but why does he show mercy in this scene? Does anyone remember? And the crowd loves Maximus, and so he doesn't kill him right. This is when he first figures out who he is. I remember this scene, and he wants to kill him because he knows who he is, but he can't because the crowd loves him, right? And so he gives mercy because of kind of peer pressure there. That's not really a good reason to be given mercy, right? Along the same lines, we don't have tons and tons of visitors every week, but if we do we do a very good job of welcoming them into the group? You know, and I know on Sunday mornings we get visitors a lot more often, and we really don't do a very good job of welcoming them in. You know, there are a lot of Sundays where we'll see somebody new that's sitting all by themselves. Don't let people sit by themselves. And never allow anyone to be alone. Don't give in to the temptation to mock and exclude. Hold your language to a higher standard. Hey, don't be like the world. Don't be mediocre. That's what I thought of when I heard mediocre. I'm sure she's a nice person, but she's a mediocre race car driver. And here's the deal. Do these things not because I told you to do them. Don't be merciful. Don't be loving because I told you to be merciful and loving. Be merciful and loving because it glorifies God. Shh. Be merciful and loving because it glorifies God. And the question is, are we okay being mediocre Christians? Because we wouldn't be okay being mediocre in anything else that we do. You know, basketball guys, we're not okay being mediocre in basketball. But, you know, people that take pride in certain subjects in school, you're not okay being mediocre at those. If you're a musician, you're not okay being a mediocre musician. So why are we okay with being these lukewarm, mediocre Christians? Okay, we're meant for more than that. And so I was going to use these illustrations to talk about mediocrity, but none of my Raiders fans are here to even take it personally, so that just makes me mad. Both of them left. I don't have Mr. Schnapp or Ms. Burkholz, and that was going to be really funny if they were in the room. Okay, so review. Let's review our seven promises, and then we'll be done. Okay, number one, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself. Number two, I resolve to draw close to God, to love His Word, and to learn His Word. Number three, I will be faithful to my God, love and honor Him, and be willing to sacrifice for Him as Jesus Christ did for me. Number four, I will not allow myself to be selfish and distracted during the preaching of God's Word. Number five, I will bless my brothers and sisters in Christ and not hinder their walk with the Lord. Number six, I will honor authority and live responsibly. Number seven, I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. Right. So let's be in prayer about this. Let's be in prayer about this whole idea of resolving to be better. I hope that you guys pray for the youth group. Ms. Burkholz prays every Sunday night if you're here on Sunday nights for the youth group. Hey, she's extremely faithful to get that prayer request out there every single week. So do we pray for each other? Do we pray for this group? Do we pray for individuals? I hope you pray for your own spiritual growth. I hope you pray for your friend's spiritual growth. Right? If you're in Christ and you don't pray for any of your friends, well, what else would you pray for? You know, their spiritual well-being should be a high priority for you. Okay? And will you be? And here's the idea: what we're going to do with this is we're going to have cards. We're going to have Crossfire resolution cards that we're going to have printed up, right? And you guys are going to take them with you. You're going to sign them, and you're going to put them in your wallet if you so choose. I'm not going to force you to sign it and carry it around with you. But the idea is you'll have it with you as a reminder that we're going to set these standards in our life, whether we're here, whether we're outside of here, right? And you'll carry them with you. So it'll be like a little membership card, right, that you get. And if you sign it, that's a personal resolution to try to do this to the best of your ability. So I want you to pray about that, because I'm not going to force you to sign it, all right? We're not going to force you to take a Crossfire resolution card, but next week we'll have cards printed out, right? And I would challenge you to sign it, to take it with you, to take it seriously. And they do this at high schools and stuff for like the prom promise and all that kind of stuff. This is much bigger than that, right? That's a good thing. You know, you're promising not to drink on prom night. I like that and all, right? This is eternal life kind of stuff that we're talking about here, right? This is not just a one night commitment. This is a lifestyle type of commitment. So I want you to think about that as we get closer to next week. And next week we're going to cover promises 8 through 14, and we'll give you the rest of the vision as we get to it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for this time. I pray that we would take this stuff to heart, take this truth and apply it to our lives. Help us to be better, to not settle for mediocrity, to not just be okay, to not tear each other down, to be better as individuals, to be better as classes, to be better as a school, to be better as a youth group, to be better as a group of believers, groups of friends. Just help us to be better, Lord. Help us to take this resolution seriously, and commit to living our lives more for you in every aspect. Lord, thank you for everybody here, and just give us a safe ride home tonight in the rain. In Jesus' name, amen.